The world needs to know that Jesus came and saved the day. Amen? The congregation needs to know that three of the five people that have been in the baptistry today are already back in the service. I'm not going to tell you who, because you'll accuse me, who's not back yet, because you'll accuse me of being sexist, but... I said to Keith, well, we've got to put the Kamara's video clip later in the service as possible so that she's back in for it. Well, you just have to confirm to her that we did play it. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm going to carry on anyway. Now, I want you to be honest with your responses here. I don't want you to give me the answer that you think that I'm expecting to hear. I want you to tell me the honest truth. When you woke up this morning, what was the first thing in your mind? Yeah, Joe, in the middle of the night as well, I think, did I put the baptistry on? Yes, you did. So, yeah. Anybody else, the first thought in your mind when you woke up this morning, honest answers, not just what you expect me to say, go on. Easter eggs. Yeah, anybody else had that thought in their mind when they got up this morning, first thought? Who are you pointing at there, madam? Your daughter. Is your daughter hiding? No need to hide. I asked you to be... She's talking about you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Easter eggs. Oh, is there a different answer there? Go on. Say again. Minecraft. Sorry. Yeah, oh, yeah, we have that problem in our house as well. Yeah, go on, Joshua. FIFA 15. I thought you said people 15. I'm getting old. It's the water, you know, as well. I wonder whether anybody here was thinking... Actually, the first thought in their mind this morning was, yes, I can be at the Licky Hills at 7 o'clock, Mike, at 7 o'clock this morning to praise God together. Yeah, come on now. Yeah, isn't that pushing our luck a little bit? There were quite a few of us there, which was great, but that's probably not your first thought, is it? You've already said, girls, you can't change your mind, okay? You said your first thought was Easter eggs, okay? And what I want to say to you is, well done. Well done for your first thought today being Easter eggs. You're looking a bit confused, Karis. What's the matter? Was anybody expecting me to say anything different to that? What might you have thought that I would have wanted your first thought to be about this morning? Hallelujah. Yeah? Jesus, maybe? So why am I so happy with your first thought being Easter eggs? Say again. The first word was Easter. Could have been that. It's not what I was thinking, but nice try. Yeah. What else about Easter eggs, gone? Because it's Easter. Yeah, that's similar answer. Roy, you had chocolate. Yeah, actually, do you know what? Honestly, that wasn't what I was thinking. Kamara? Eggs hollow. Like, well, it's another good answer, isn't it? When are you... Do you want to preach next Sunday? Yeah. What do Easter eggs symbolise? Oh, I was thinking, oh no, I've got this wrong. Nobody's saying it, but thanks for reassuring me. Yeah, Easter eggs represent new life, don't they? And that's why I'm happy to say, well done, if you thought that Easter eggs was your first thought when you woke up this morning. But only if you were thinking about new life. And particularly this new life that we're talking about that's ours through Jesus. That's the theory, isn't it? Easter eggs help us to think about new life. I guess there'd be a good number of us that might get stuck at the chocolate bit. Especially the one that's sitting on our table that starts with the letter C at the beginning. There's only one way to spell chocolate in my humble opinion, and that starts with the letter C, of course. Ends in Cadbury's. We do though, don't we? We get stuck at that point, perhaps, really easily. We know the theory, we know already that Easter, for us as Christians, is about Jesus. But perhaps there's some other thing that gets in the way. But I want to say to you, if you do that, if you let those other things get in the way today, then what you'll be doing actually is choosing to miss out on the most amazing opportunity of knowing the best in your life that you could ever know. And I have a question about that. Why? Why would we ever want to do that? excuse me, why would we ever purposefully turn our back on the best thing that we can be offered? Why would we do that? It doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't to me, at least. But, you know, that's what people did with Jesus. Jesus' whole life, his reason for living, he lived for showing people God's best through what he did, having them hear it through what he said, challenging them about the things in their lives to bring them closer to God, not have them turn their back and walk away. That was Jesus' every reason for living. It was his whole purpose. So I wonder, what is it for us? What is your thing? What is your life built on? What is your life focused on? What is your reason for living, that thing that drives you? Well, we have plenty of things to choose between in the world. Plenty of things. We could choose money. That's good to have, isn't it? We could choose to let money be the thing that drives us, or success, or fame, or power, or control, or the latest bit of technology, or, you know, whatever it is. So many things that we could have to choose to build our lives around. The driving force in our lives, the main thing that drives us, that focuses every moment of our lives. But I wonder if that's the best way. I want to say that it isn't. That's not what Jesus did, is it? That's just so not what Jesus did. Because doing life that way puts us first, puts our own needs, our own desires, our own longings first and foremost every time. It's not what Jesus did. He always put the other person first in everything that he did. And he did that because he wanted them to know how much God valued them. Not just valued them, loved them, cherished them, thought they were so precious, so amazing. That's what Jesus did. There's a verse in the Old Testament of the Bible in Zephaniah 3, verse 17, which uses the word delight. God, it describes God as taking great delight in every single one of us. Is that true for you? Do you believe that? Do you feel that in your life, that God would actually look at you and choose to delight in you? Because he does. That's the truth. But that's not what everybody did with Jesus. Not everyone wanted to listen to him or follow him. Because to do that would have been meaning things needed to change. The way that Jesus was presenting life was different. It was a new way. It was a renewed focus for people to live by. So they came up with a plan. Let's get rid of him. That'd be the best way. Change is too difficult. Change is too complicated. I don't like what Jesus is saying. I want things to be this way. I want things to be the way that I can choose them to be, not to follow his example. So we'll get rid of him. And so the plan, we know, involved lies and betrayal and false accusations and injustice, torture, a wrong, guilty verdict, death on a cross. You know, we do those things. We do those things when we close our minds to the thought that Jesus can actually transform our lives. And we do those things when we turn our back on Jesus. Now here's the thing though. You know, that will never be enough to make a difference to Jesus, to stop Jesus from thinking about us in any way other than that we are so precious and loved. There's nothing we can do that will stop Jesus looking at us with utter delight. And that's what today is reminding us. None of the plans of those people who wanted to get rid of Jesus worked. Not one of them. And one of the guards standing at the cross, at the foot of the cross, it seems to me must have seen something in Jesus. He had a point of realization. We read this in Matthew 27, verse 54, when he said, surely he was the Son of God. You know, that centurion, that guard, had been there through everything. He'd been involved with the crucifixion. He'd heard Jesus say from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He'd heard Jesus say from the cross, it is finished. He'd watched Jesus take his final breath. And then there's that point of realization for him. That really, this is Jesus, Son of God. I wonder what it will take for us? What will it take for us to realize who Jesus really is and what is it that he is offering us? And not just to know facts, but to move beyond mere facts on a page and actually accept it and live by it and build our lives around it. You know, for some people, that only ever happens at a point of crisis. When things are a struggle, when everything's going wrong and there's no one else to turn to, so we might as well try Jesus because we've got nothing to lose. Things can't get worse. That's how it is for some people. But I want to say, well, that's okay. It's better than never turning to Jesus. But why wait until then? Why wait until everything else feels so difficult? It feels like we might as well give Jesus a try because we can't lose anyway. Mary had an encounter with Jesus that she wasn't expecting. She'd gone to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid after he had died. She found the tomb open. Jesus' body had gone. An angel of the Lord spoke to her. This was her encounter the beginning of her encounter with Jesus. The angel said, "He has risen." And we've declared those words in our worship today. That was the message that she heard, and later on she saw with her own eyes her risen Lord, Jesus. Experiencing Jesus in an unexpected way. Well, that's okay. Maybe meeting Jesus in a way or at a time that we weren't expecting has a bigger impact on our lives somehow. But why wait until then? Why wait for that unexpected moment to have our own transforming encounter with Jesus? The video we watched, we did watch it, of your song choice. The video we watched of Kamara's song choice included the words, "The world needs to know that you saved the day." You know, so many people are living in that kind of crisis way through life, aren't they? And they've somehow got used to that. And it feels like, well, we'll just put up with that because anything different is either impossible or it's just too hard or, you know, it's just never going to happen. And so the search goes on and on and on, and nothing ever seems to shift. Whatever is sought out, nothing ever feels quite enough. Listen, if you know that's what you're doing in your life this morning, then I want to say one thing. Please, stop it. Encounter life in all its fullness now. Do that through Jesus. If for you that would be the most unlikely of places or people you would have thought of turning to today, then please think it through again. Chat to somebody here who you know is already a Christian. Think it through again. We can all know what it's like. We can all know what it's like to live this transforming way of life, encountering Jesus at the heart of everything. The power of the cross says it all. Nothing will ever defeat Jesus.